Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the moment that you have all been waiting for, the episode about singing songs. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire world and a guest. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it's a beautiful day for a musical podcast. And we also have our friend Megan.
Hello!
also, this is Grey's Academy. Carmen got excited. Grey's Academy. Forgot that part.
Did I say that? I don't know if I. Yeah, I don't even know if I said it.
You're excited. It's okay. We're all excited. We're excited to be here. It's an exciting day.
This is an exciting day. This is an I need you all to know that I was very shocked. I did not know that this was happening. I didn't know that this was coming. The second it took me actually until Hunt started singing, and I was like, this is too much. This is the musical episode. This is
so wait, you got through the entire when he's singing Chasing Cars.
Yes, the first
okay,
song.
Okay, I thought you meant okay, I see. Yes.
Because when she was like Calliope means music. Because she also sings the Nobody Knows Where You Might End Up
yeah,
thing.
But that one, like, okay. I also agree. I was like, oh, he might not think it is right away because that is just like a one-off. Yeah, and then it goes into like a more normal episode. And then there's a good little chunk, yeah.
There, when Callie's singing, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is like a whole metaphor for like what the brain does and the coping mechanisms when your brain goes through trauma. Yes. And then Hunt started singing and I was like, this is the musical!
Yeah. I was anxiously awaiting a text because I was. Yeah. We don't always text about the episodes.
We try,
but
to
I was
not to,
pretty yeah. confident that Carmen was going to let me know that this was the musical episode. So that also, was one of our Patreon questions: was at what point did you realize it was the musical episode? So not immediately. I mean, partially through Chasing Cars.
Yeah, it genuinely was while. Because the second Hunt starts singing to her, Callie just starts bawling.
She's like, obviously,
she's been in a car crash.
Also, she's panicking because she's hallucinating. And she's like, this is not real.
Yeah. But that was the exact moment.
I would also cry if Hunt started singing at me like that.
Ugh, oh, my God. Right. I have so much to say about this shit.
Yes. But I think what's more important than the musical part of this episode is we have the triumphant return of the one, the only, Preston Burke.
That's not true.
But his name is mentioned.
But I thought you meant Megan also. I thought you were I thought you were
no, that was
that.
The joke. That was the joke that I've been holding on to for 24 hours.
That was so good.
That's the joke you've been holding on to?
It's been because I knew that you were gonna be thinking it's either gonna be about Meg or it's gonna be about the Queen, Return of the Queen here as well.
Yeah.
But when they started mentioning Preston, I was like, oh, I have to make this the highlight of the entire episode just to piss so many people off. Ironically piss people off because now that I know about him as a terrible person,
yeah, it's a bummer.
I don't yearn for him. So, although he was never one of my favorite characters. Anyways, we do have a dear friend guest.
We
Meg,
do.
Please.
We're so excited.
For those of you who have not heard the episode with Megan this before, can you please tell us who you are, what you do, and why you are here today?
Why you love Grace.
Hello, my name is Megan Lloyd, and I am here to talk with you about this amazing show. It's called
Bing Dong.
Hello. Hi, everybody. My name is Megan Lloyd. I work in the animation industry out in California, and I love musicals. I've also just recently finished working on a live stage musical called Cinderella's Castle, which was an awesome, like, dark retelling of the story of Cinderella with both human characters and puppet performers. If you didn't get the chance to see it live, you can rent a digital ticket for a filmed version of the show. TeamStarKid.com/tickets.
Yeah, I need to do this.
I need to do this. But if you're like, ugh, pay for a musical? You also can wait till February when the pro shot will go up on YouTube for free. But if you absolutely cannot wait, you got to check out the show. You got to check the digital ticket. I am a longtime fan of Grey's Anatomy, and I've been on this podcast. Is this my third time? Twice? Second?
I think it's the second time. Because I think you were on the 100th episode with us.
I think that was it. Yeah.
I think you were on the 100. We just talk a lot outside of the podcast.
because we're friends in real life.
Yes, it's true. It's delightful.
This, yeah, this isn't just a PR appearance. We are actual real life friends.
Although, yeah, can I just say I've been a horrible friend because I still have a CD sitting on my counter to send you. It's just sitting there.
Where's my Gallery 81 CD?
I know. I have your address just sitting there in a chat, and I'm like, I need to just mail this. I need a day off. I have not had an actual human day off in months. So it's whatever. It's fine.
I'm sorry that your trip, your amazing trip to Spain was so stressful for you. You need a vacation from your vacation.
I need a vacation from my vacation.
Carmen, when is Gallery 81 going to put their stuff on TikTok?
I don't even know. I don't think Gallery 81 knows how to use TikTok.
Well, you guys should because I'm getting...
Because Carmen doesn't.
I'm getting more TikTok famous by the day. And I would love to do some sounds with your stuff. You can
animate some of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you can animate whatever you want. I'm giving you... This is the verbal express consent that you can take anything of mine and you can animate it.
Have you read any of the Gideon the Ninth or the Locked Tomb books?
Fun fact about Carmen, he does not read.
Doesn't read.
There's
can't
lots of
read.
Books in
I
the
didn't
background
go to college.
Of Kelsey Schott, but there's like
I
zero
didn't go
books
to...
in the background of Carmen Schott,
yeah,
so
there
I
are
can see
a
that
lot
being definitely
there.
True. Anyway, Carmen, I definitely have thought about an animation of the characters from the Locked Tomb to Poker Face. That makeup is her Poker Face. Because that's one of my favorite tracks.
Oh, yeah. That's Jess's favorite song, actually.
Jess has great taste.
She does. I mean, it's true. So many things that Jessica has chosen in her life, two of which are on this screen with you. she's made some pretty darn good choices. All right. Last, I think it's also important to mention, before we jump in any further down the rabbit holes, listeners, one thing you should also know about Meg is Callie is her favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said that last episode too, but just in case they didn't know this about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love Callie. I love her story. I love Sarah Ramirez as an actor. They're super talented and amazing. Tony Award winning Sarah Ramirez. And
very
what?
Well deserved.
It's Callie's,
for this
it's
episode?
Callie's time to shine. No, for Spamalot, I believe.
For Spamalot, on Broadway,
On Broadway.
Yes.
Spamalot, television shows are not nominated for Tonys, that is stage productions
they are
only.
That's true.
Got it. But there's probably a person named Tony who would give this episode an award for Sarah
probably.
Ramirez. Somewhere.
Tony.
Someone
maybe
named Tony.
Tony.
I am very excited. And also, when I texted Kelsey about this being the musical episode, and she says, have I got another surprise for you? when I realized that Callie was like the main singer person in this episode, like this is like her, this is about her. I was like, I bet it's going to be Meg's coming back. And it was, I fucking
guess
knew it.
Back
it's again. all right, Kelsey, do we have any shout outs before we jump into this bad boy?
I don't think so. We had a lot of people reach out once I posted the screenshot of our text message just saying they were excited. But like it was a lot of people. So I don't think we have the time to go through and shout everyone out. But we are also very excited to be here, you guys.
Yes.
It's been a journey and we are thrilled to finally have arrived. And after this, you are going back to being true spoily free, because this was the only spoiler you had.
That's
so after
true.
This, you're back in the dark.
Wait, hold on. Don't eat that cat.
I won't. What do I look like? Someone from Ohio?
Is that the same? She won't.
Goodness. I don't even think you have rights in this country anymore, because I think you're a childless cat lady.
Oh, no. So well, do you know what?
Oh, no.
One of my fellow childless cat ladies just nominated a feminine nominon. And her Instagram post about it has 9 million likes.
I really enjoy... Kelsey basically guilted me into listening to Chapel Roan.
Correct.
Because... No. Not because I didn't want to. I have to be in the right headspace to listen to new artists. Because when I listened to Hot to Go and Pink Pony Club, Jessica like held me down and said, you will listen to this.
That's not
and
true.
Then,
we were driving on the way to go see a movie and I played it in the car.
That's what it was. No, but she had, I listened to those before.
Okay.
Yeah. Jess had forced me. And then I did like Hot to Go right away. But I listened to Chaperone's entire performance at Lollapalooza in Chicago. And I was like, no. This is dope. So I've got quite a few songs on my phone. Shout out to our friend Lauren. I really do like the Champagne
Red Wine Supernova.
Red Wine Supernova, not Champagne Supernova. That's a totally different song.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Listen, Champagne Problems, Red Wine Supernova. Call that a crossover.
Yes. That is the mashup that I need to listen to. Someone out there make that. And then the ultra modern something super girl, super modern, ultra super something, modern, ultra whatever.
Yeah. I'm not. So, yes.
So very sick. I've got a couple of songs.
Jeans. Okay. We got to get to the songs in this episode. Man, if they had some Chaperone in this episode, hell yeah.
Hot to go. This episode is hot to go.
Okay. So we're going to get into it. So much to say. So I'll go through the normal stuff. Carmen will do the song title, song info, and then as each song is performed chronologically, we will give those song informations as well. And I have more background information than normal in for this episode as well.
A typical episode of Grey's is what, like 45 minutes long, 48 minutes long? Mm-hmm. There's 35 minutes of music in this episode of singing.
Yeah.
That's a big percentage.
A typical episode of Grey's, the pre-production and filming is like an 8-day time span. This was 4 months because they had so many rehearsals. And like they brought in a voice coach. Obviously, they changed arrangements a little bit. So this is one of the most expensive Grey's episodes, simply because of the pre-production that went into it.
The time, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is episode 18 of the 7th season. It is episode 144 overall, and it is called Song Beneath the Song. And that's a song.
The song Beneath the Song is a song by... where is this? Mariah Taylor?
I think it's Maria.
Maria? Count me in, you know? So this song aired, premiere. It was actually, I see what's happening here. The original release date of the song was March 31st, 2011. Weird shout out. My dad's birthday is March 31st, so...
He's definitely listening.
Yeah. Shout out, Carmen. Also a Carmen. This song did not have a ton of charting information, but it did get as high as number 19 on the TV Guide Network, which apparently was a thing for rating songs back then. I'm trying to like not read too much about this because it does really lean into the fact that it's the Grey's music event.
Yeah,
and it's the song for that. So I'm not going to go too far into the information here, but just because I don't have it and I don't want to get spoilies.
Yeah.
So, but that's all that I have right now.
Thank you for telling us about the song behind the song beneath the song beneath the song.
Yes.
That was great.
We appreciate that.
I'm happy to do that. I didn't give much information. It's also, I think it's probably it's one of the better songs that didn't make it into my iTunes library. I was kind of like beat bopping a little bit to it when Kelsey and Meg were getting on the phone there or on the video here. I did not make it in there. Fine song, but it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to crack into the vault that is my iTunes library, which I don't know if I should be proud that I have that one William Shatner version of the Pulp song in there or not, but you know, maybe I'll just delete that at some point.
Hey, wait, Carmen, you said the word pulp, which has triggered me like a Russian sleeper agent. And I've got to tell you guys about pulp musicals. So my friend Matt Dahan has written a series of musical stories.
Matt Damon?
No, Matt Dahan. he's written a series
of
musical...
My dear friend, Matty.
Just me and my buddy Matt. But each of the songs are based off of a real historical news article. And so the first episode of Pulp Musicals is a, spaced on everything just now. It is based on this real newspaper article of there was this New York newspaper that was going under. This is like the 1830s. And to kind of save the failing newspaper, they started publishing false stories about an astronomer finding life on the moon. But the problem is they used a real astronomer's name to do so. Yes. And he finds out about it. So it's a storified version of the people who wrote these great moon hoax stories. But there's also a bit of a supernatural element twisted in with it. So if any of you like musicals, the newest Pulp musical came out on Monday. So check that out.
Where
stream
can
that
people
shit
find
on
this?
Spotify.
Spotify. Okay.
There you go.
Thanks. Okay.
Love that.
So this episode was written by the one and only Shonda Rhimes.
Of course it was.
Directed by Tony Feland, who put
Tony.
Is that who directed the last one you were on? Or was
there
that Rob?
There was a Tony direct. Oh my gosh, Carmen, you were totally right. There was a Tony who gave this
Tony
show
would
awards.
Give Tony would give Callie and Sarah Ramirez Tonys if he could.
So true. Okay. So this episode aired March 31st, 2011. Wait, when did you say the song came out?
I thought it was March 31st. Okay, maybe I'm just, you know what?
I think you're just reading about the Grey's episode.
Guys, I was very giving it very, very little looking over because the first thing I saw was about Grey's and I just didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah, then
anything,
you're probably just on the Grey's page for
No, it was Wikipedia.
Yeah, but there's I also have the song beneath the song Wikipedia for this episode open. Anyways, don't look more into it. I don't want you to get more spoilers. Get off the internet. I don't trust you.
Okay. All right. I'm off.
Okay. This episode aired to 13.09 million views, so up a couple million from last week, because they promoted the shit out of this episode being a musical.
Oh, they did?
It was not a surprise. Wow. It was not a surprise. We all knew it was coming.
I need you to send me some spoiler-free promos like from YouTube. I need to see one.
They have spoilers for this episode.
No, but what I mean, I've already watched the episode.
Why I'm confused.
I don't want peripheral spoilers.
I also don't want that, but I can't control what YouTube puts on your computer in front of you.
Fine, I'll watch it right now. Grey's Academy, Grey's Anatomy. I'm going to search it and ruin my algorithms.
Search Grey's Anatomy on YouTube.
Calm down.
God, that's a way to make me not calm down. Okay.
They gotta stop giving that man solos, is what I'm saying over here.
We gotta get into it. Okay, the Netflix synopsis is a cataclysmic event leaves the doctor shaken. Callie, on the verge of a life-changing moment, starts having visions of the hospital and her friends. I don't know if it's on the verge of a life-changing moment, so much on the verge of like a life-ending moment. But it's a pretty good synopsis. And over on Hulu, we've got a cataclysmic event leaves the doctors shaken. And that's it. So just the first half of the other one.
Yes.
Also, Carmen, so many people, we talked about it on Discord. I got direct messages from multiple people who aren't on the Discord. Last week for the episode description, because you and I kept singing "This Is How We Do It," you wrote in the episode description, "The world will burst into song." And everyone was like, "He's trolling us. He has watched ahead." And I was like, no. His life is just a huge happy coincidence. And that has happened.
Yeah, that was not me trolling anyone. When I mean that, it's when you say "This is how we do it," there's no way people can just walk by and then not sing back to you, "This is how we do it." That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, no, I explained it to people. I was like, it's just funny that next week is the musical, and that's what you've done.
I wish I was trolling people. That's the worst part about knowing nothing about this show. I can't troll people. In fact, you are all trolling me, actually.
That is a little bit true. Okay, so we're going to get into a little bit of the backstory of how this episode came to be. Essentially, Shonda wanted to do a musical episode from like the creation of Grey's Anatomy. She was like, "I want to do a musical episode at some point." And everyone was like, "That feels like a bad idea for this show." And that continued to be true. And then they already had this plot point written. They knew that there was going to be the car accident. They knew that it was going to be centric around Arizona and Callie and Mark and the baby and just like that whole thing kind of coming to a head. And so she said, I think this is the moment that we can do a musical. This episode is so wildly divisive. Like, people hate.
Really?
Hate this episode. People hate it, Carmen.
Well,
they
let me tell you.
So much.
Anyone who hates this episode, you are not going to like my ranking for this episode at the end.
I'm pretty confident I know what your ranking's going to be, but I just feel like we'll obviously get into it. The parts of this episode that are done well are done so fucking well, and the parts that don't work really don't work. It is just so, so opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, so like when I watched it through, there were moments I was choking up despite like knowing this episode so well, but I watched the entire thing, which I don't typically do with this episode, and I found myself bursting into laughter at the parts I typically skip.
Yeah. People will say they either skip this episode entirely or they'll fast forward through all the singing. Because, like, it's an important episode. Like, a lot of very
important things. How do you fast forward through that? There's 35 minutes of a 45-minute episode. So you, what, you just watch the car, the sad shit?
Yes. Like,
Wait, hold on. I have a question to all of the haters of this episode. And I'm inviting spoiler-free direct messages. If you hated this episode but loved the news episode, I need to know.
Most people hate both.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you hated both, I also need to know so I can block you.
Okay.
I'm not actually going to block anyone.
I only skip two songs typically on my watch through. I do skip through a lot of Chasing Cars, and I skip How We Operate.
We Operate is a waste of my life.
Oh, would you look at those? It's the Owen Heavy songs. Sorry, Kevin McKidd.
Need to make an announcement. I'm seeing an Apple purchase right now. My wife just got Paramount Plus to watch the fucking VMAs. She just got Paramount Plus.
Let her live.
Letting her live, but like,
don't judge her. You buy $1 billion shoes for no fucking reason all the time.
Oh, someone's got a car driving by.
But it was me. Carmen, this means you can watch Star Trek Lower Decks, the television show I direct.
Yes.
I need to be on the show. I can't watch unless I'm on it.
Unfortunately, we are not making Grey's anymore. Oh. It was announced season 5 was our last season. But by default, that means I directed the series finale. So that's pretty cool.
I directed the series finale
of a Star Trek series.
I'm going to watch it. You know what? You've convinced me. That's all I needed.
Yes.
Really, anything for you, truly.
I will pick a random character and I'll pretend that it's you. And I'll say, guess what? I actually did sneak you into season 4 episode. Do you know what? You are the ensign in season 4 episode 2.
You have to watch all the episodes to get there, Carmen.
Yeah.
I need to know the whole character arc. Okay. Well, Kelsey's right. The problem is that we're all friends. So I need to hate you both for a little bit, and we need to get back on track. Let's do this.
Okay. Shonda went back and forth with the network for ages on getting, like, the network was saying no, the studio was saying no. Everyone was like, this is absolutely a terrible idea. You cannot make this work. And finally, she got, so really the catalyst for it was the writer's strike in 2010. They held a benefit concert to raise money for like writers and crew who are out of work. And Sarah Ramirez performed, Kevin McKidd performed for some reason. Shonda Wilson performed, a couple other people performed.
Kevin McKidd is Owen?
Yes.
Yes.
Who gave that man a microphone in public?
So
he sings.
He like does that. Like he did that forever before. He knows how to play the guitar. He sings. That is like something that he does. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, like, he just already knew how to sing. And I was like, okay.
And like, maybe in Ireland. I think we'll get into it. But, like, they let the actors be like, okay, who's most comfortable with singing? Who wants to sing on this episode? They weren't going to, like, force anybody into it that didn't want to. And Kevin's like, put me in the game, coach.
Yeah. So there's, like, Shyler Lee, Lexi, did not know she could sing. Incredible voice.
Great voice. Loved
it. No training, nothing, like, at all. Shonda Wilson had previously performed in musicals. She has a good voice. It was known. And so there's just like going back and forth, obviously, kind of. There's some people that were maybe tuned a little bit more than others. But some people are just very naturally talented. And so anyways, that is how it kind of came to fruition that truly they ended up and got to do it. And so I think the concept of it being a hallucination is the only way it could ever work.
Well, that's how they did it in Scrubs, too. Scrubs did it in, and I think I might have mentioned that before, is, and actually, I think it was the episode, sorry, I think that was the episode that I mentioned. I was reading about Ted Lasso, and then I discovered the spoilie about this, and I was like, oh, well, maybe, I wonder if they'll do it as, like, a hallucination like they did in Scrubs. I think that was actually almost verbatim what I had said. So it made sense, and the way that they created, she's kind of the out-of-body experience, and she's singing to herself is pretty cool. So, yeah, overall, I do not fall in the camp of hating this episode. So
I definitely don't hate the majority of it. Again, the parts they do well are so good. It is very hard to do a musical episode for a drama because typically on TV shows, they're like done more on comedy. And it's just harder to kind of pull and maintain the drama aspect without going melodrama, which there are definitely moments where it gets melodrama. I also think some of the songs could have been different songs. I think there is some flaws in the soundtrack, in my opinion. They are all like,
well, there's
unquote,
no Gallerini
iconic
one. That's for starters. Yeah.
Well, that would be dumb because first of all, did Gallery 81 exist in 2010?
It's a fair point. That's the only technicality that they would get off on.
Also, every episode, every song was in a previous episode. Gallery 81 was not.
Again, so, only technicality.
So two, only one technicality is great. And so I think
it's the same technicality.
There are super iconic Grays songs that any Grays fans could pull and recognize. I don't know that all of them fell into that category.
I don't know.
Chasing Cars for sure.
Yeah.
How to Save a Life for sure.
Yeah. The one about the boner, I didn't hear that one before.
I'm sorry, what?
When Henry's talking about the rocket in his front left pocket.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
That's the boner song.
We'll get to it.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll tell you when all of them were when we get to them. But I think, for me, Breathe, I, like, remember that being in it. I remember the story.
Oh, yeah.
But the story they were using as promo because it was, like, a big deal. They were going to, the artist who performed the story was making like a Grey's Anatomy music video that released congruently with this episode. And Sarah Ramirez was releasing their first EP and they covered the story on that. So they were really using that to promo this because that was not on an actual Grey's episode. That was on some kind of like season 3 summary episode hosted by Denny. Well, the guy who plays Denny wasn't hosted by Denny because Denny's not real, but it was hosted by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so the story was originally aired in a special episode called Every Moment Counts, which aired between episode 19 and 20, and it was hosted by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and it was just like, look at all of these pivotal Grey's Anatomy moments we've all experienced together. And then
you
also
didn't
that song
cover
was there for
it
some
on
reason.
Your podcast. Ugh, can't believe
it. I'm hearing of this for the first time.
I don't even know if I watched that live. I think I watched it because they maybe have put it on the DVDs, but I don't think I watched it live.
Is this the Grey's Anatomy equivalent of the Star Wars Ewok holiday special? Is that what I'm gathering from this?
No,
the life day,
I wouldn't
the life
rate
day
it that low.
I was thinking as I watched this, though, how much I would have loved to see Denny Duquette or the bomb guy singing with Callie. But I get
hey, his name is Dylan. Put some respect on that man's name.
I also really like Grey. It's hard for me to separate it because my best friend and I liked Grey's so much that we were like burning CDs with the soundtrack from Grey's. So I don't know how much these songs were like actually known to other human beings. Other than I know How to Save a Life and Chasing Cars, they really leaned into that. in promos, because those songs were big on the radio at the time. So I think they were leaning into that. But yeah, it's good stuff over here with the song choices. I think that's one of the flaws of the episode, in my opinion, is the song choices.
Well, I think, is there anything else that you want to add on to that specific topic? Like kind of the backstory, anything there you want to add?
So I think those are the main points.
You want to add something over there, Meg?
No.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was like the gentle, like the hand raise. I was like, oh man.
No, that was me brushing a piece of hair annoying me out of my face.
Amazing. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick message from the regional sponsors, and then we'll jump into the actual meat and more meat of this episode. Potatoes are off the menu, although I did have some au gratin potatoes for dinner today, and they were just so good. All right, we'll be right back. And we are back. Let's do this. Where should we start? Oh, hand up. There it is.
Yeah, so see, that's a real one. You know, recently, the regional sponsors I've been getting while listening to Grey's Anatomy have been for the Los Angeles musical season. We're gonna get Frozen and we're gonna get Hamilton up in here. Hell so yeah. That's pretty exciting.
I was really hoping this episode had Lin-Manuel Miranda on it, but it didn't.
No, that's a House that episode you're thinking of.
Yes, yes, thank you. And a How I Met Your Mother episode. Yes. Where he raps in both.
Yes. I will say, I don't think I actually told you this, Kelsey, but I recently went in, and you know how in Audio Boom now you can select the ads? Mm-hmm. I unselected tobacco, alcohol, and gambling. So, okay.
Let us know if you hear any so we can track them down.
Yeah, please. If they sneak
in. Oh, yeah. I've been getting a lot of, oh my gosh, where do you go to gamble? Casino games.
Casinos.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep,
casino games. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So this is pretty linear. So, yeah. Kelsey, let's start it and we'll just kind of take it step by step.
So first thing that's different, Callie's narrating. Callie's the voiceover.
Yes.
Arizona,
has she narrated before?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Not okay. Solo. Arizona like wakes up. She's like, the airbag has deployed. She wakes up. She's like, oh my God. Looks over, sees Callie's feet. Callie has been shot through the windshield, fully ejected.
I thought she was dead right off the bat.
Yeah.
I was going to text you and be like, I am so wrong. They took Callie.
You were a little wrong still, because you were like, Arizona's going to die. And I she thought did not she, die.
Well, Shonda has really fucked me up, because I actually thought she was still going to die. In the final scene of this episode, I thought she was dead. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Arizona's like screaming. She gets out of the car. She's screaming for help. She gets the truck driver that, I guess is for the truck that she hit. And she's like, get help, get help. I have my notes written two ways. There's Callie. Then there's outside Callie, who is hallucination Callie. And then later on there's coma Callie. So I have three Callies that I'll be mentioning. So Callie's on the car and outside Callie is standing. And Callie sees outside Callie and is like starting to panic. In addition to, I'm sure, being in immense physical pain, seeing herself outside of her body is concerning. And so then that's when we get the first line of, nobody knows where you might end up. And I love that. I wish there was more of that song.
Yeah.
Because I just love that like little moment. And I agree. Cause when I watched it, I was like, oh, you know, cause in my head that was like immediate. There wasn't the Arizona little part beforehand. And so when I watched it and I realized there's a little bit more going on, I was like, oh, maybe he won't like know right away.
I did
musical.
It was like, it was kind of like haunting the way they first did it.
And it definitely
know?
Could be, cause they don't underscore it with music. Like it's just the singing.
Acapella.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then it cuts to the title card and then it cuts back to, Meredith going into Mark's surgery and she's like, how much you got left? And he's like, no, not much, man. I'm so great. I did such a good job. You would have never even known I did the surgery. Cause I'm so fucking good at surgery. I'm the best.
Guy's jaw was broken 5 whole places.
You wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, was he say I could be a Picasso, but no, maybe a Chagall or Michelangelo, the famous
most
turtle.
Most of his monologue, they're kind of like focusing on Meredith's face, and she's so uncomfy because she's like, mm-hmm. he has no idea. Like, I'm about to ruin his life.
His entire life. Right.
Yeah. And so we don't get the scene of them, of her actually telling him, which I kind of like that choice, because he finishes and he's like, what's up? And then it cuts to them running to the ambulance bay, where literally everyone is waiting for this ambulance.
Every character who has existed in the show is there, minus Patricia.
I miss Patricia. She has no medical training, so I don't know how much help she would be in this situation.
She's taking care of all the other patients in the hospital right now. Yeah. Somebody has to.
She's doing the sound mixing.
They should have hired Olivia back.
She's holding
episode.
The boom just off camera.
we get the moment where Richard is like, Mark, you can't do anything. This is not for you. This is not for you to work on. And he's like, bitch, I will do this. And he's like, no, you will not. I'm being gentle, but you will not do this. we get a moment of Derek being like, Mark, seriously, like, we got it. It's fine. Mark is like, I like the moment where he said, I'm in the room, and there's no pushback. Richard's like, okay, you can be in the room. That's fine.
Even before that, the part that I thought stood out for that scene is Weber was like, I don't understand whatever you guys have, but that's family. And I recognize that. That was honestly good episode for Richard. How many cats do you have?
Embarrassingly enough, three. And I think that's borderline.
I
love that.
That's the right amount.
No,
it's just the right amount.
Four is I think maybe too much.
Yep. So this is Kenobi. This is my Star Wars cat.
I love that cat. That's a beautiful cat. The black and white one. The gray and black one was also a very pretty cat.
Mm-hmm. That was Olivia.
One you had earlier, Olivia. Yeah. Okay, take it away again, Kelsey. Sorry, I just had to put that. I like that Richard, it was a good episode.
I don't know what it is, but like that's your family, and you can't operate on family.
Yep.
So he says, Owen, you're in charge. The ambulance gets there. They just run. Arizona gets out. She's trying to kind of like piece together what happened. Owen is trying to kind of give direction. Callie is mumbling something about like, do you hear music or something like that.
She says Calliope means music. I had the subtitles on for this episode.
Oh, I thought that was in the voiceover that she said that.
No, she says it to Bailey.
My Netflix stopped working, so I had to watch this in a different place. That may have been less legal. And did not have subtitles.
Calliope is one of the nine Greek muses, and she is the muse of music.
Amazing. Is that one of the muses in the Hercules Five? I'm pretty positive.
I believe so, yes. I think the Hercules
Five.
You
have to dig deep, but they do have names.
Calliope, Melipomene. Terpsichore. I'm a bad fan. I can only get three of the five.
I can get one, so I think you're winning.
I got zero. And I think that last one you said is just
Calliope, made up Cleo, on the
spot. It might be pronounced Terpsichore, Talia, but you know, Persephone, Terpsichore,
Melipomene.
I like Terpsichore. Yeah. What was the word in the brain that I like totally butchered and Leah made fun
of us? Occipital.
Occipital.
I was thinking about that.
Occipital.
Okay, so yes, she says Callie means music. And then outside Callie starts singing Chasing Cars. And honestly, for me, the first, like, the opening through the end of Chasing Cars is like flawless, in my opinion. Like, I know Owen sings, but because it's like
that was
such,
jarring for me.
I hate it. It's so true to like the hallucination, and it's very easy to follow. For me, at least, it was very easy to follow like what was happening and like what they were trying to accomplish. And again, because Chasing Cars is a more iconic Gray song, I thought that was such a good choice to start with. And there's a lot of establishing shots going on, but there's still like you can still feel the chaos and like the panic that everyone's in. And I think those like first, I don't know, like 7 to 10 minutes. I don't know the actual like timestamp on it. Those were like flawless. I was like, wow, I don't remember why so many people hate this episode. And then like more things happened and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That beginning moment where, so everyone's going to town, you start to have kind of a really good moment where Hunt and Callie are singing at the same time. And I was like, okay, like cool. I'm vibing.
Some of the harmonies in this are just like beyond
really good. The word that I use a lot, is haunting. It's very hauntingly beautiful in a lot of these moments. Mm-hmm. Like even when Bailey comes in, she comes in with Let's Chase Cars. And then that's when she grabs Callie's hand. And those are the first moments that I experience some onions in this episode. And then that's also the scene that they're like, where the fuck is the fetal heartbeat? Right. This is the same scene. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first of all, let me get into Chasing Cars originally in Losing My Religion, the season 2 finale. It is the very end scene. So these are all the things that occur while Chasing Cars is happening in that episode. Izzy is sad. She's laying in the bed with dead Denny. Alex picks her up and goes and sits in the chair, and she's like sobbing in his arms. Burke wakes up from the surgery on his arm, because if you'll recall, he was shot. So many things have happened on the show. And he's like stretching his hand and it's shaking a little bit, and Christina comes in and holds his hand. Richard and Miranda are looking for the interns. The interns come up. Izzy was like, I cut the LVAD wire. Also, I quit. I can't be a surgeon anymore. Everyone walks away, and it's left on the shot with Meredith, and like Finn is calling to her and Derek is calling to her at the prom. That was what was happening during Chasing Cars.
The vet. Do you remember when she dated
you're going to have a lot of those moments when I tell you about things that were happening when these songs originally aired in the episodes.
I also, did Denny die in the season 2 finale?
Season 2.
The prom episode.
That was
that
prom.
Woman killed Denny that early in the show, and she stayed on for 3 more seasons?
Four more seasons.
I know, right? I can't believe that Izzy's like, I don't want to be a surgeon anymore. And then they're like, no, come back. You're so good at medicine.
Take 4 more seasons and then we'll give you cancer.
Hey, like, what? Carmen, how does it feel to be, because this is way back in season 2, how does it feel to be 30% of the way through Grey's Anatomy right now?
I feel like 30% of a person, actually. That's how I feel.
And they just
I won't be
haven't
complete.
Announced yet that season 21's the end. And I'm like, I'm so tired. Sorry. Come on, guys.
They should bring back Denny, but not as Denny. Bring back Jeff. Bring back all the characters that they kill off that I don't know about yet as well, and bring them back as new characters, as interns.
Robert Downey Jr. And just have them come back.
Oh my god! Don't even get me started. Cash grab.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan comes back as Richard Weber. That's what we need.
Denny's
so Chasing Cars. Wait, anything else about the scene with Chasing Cars? Anything else you want to add?
The way that Arizona and Mark are panicking, but they're trying to keep their distance to let everyone work, because they do know that it's very important. So they're trying not to get in the way. Again, really good, like Derek and Mark friendship moments in this, because like so much is said with just them saying each other's name, like because Mark says, Derek, please. And then he again to Lucy's like, can you get the heartbeat? And that's when Richard's like, everyone shut up so she could listen. And then they find the heartbeat, which is obviously like a very reassuring moment for everybody. Yeah. And like in all that chaos, you're like, at least this for right now is okay, you know.
I have one last thing to say about this scene, and it's that Callie and I have the same blood type, A positive.
Amazing.
We are.
I am A negative.
Oh no! See, I am A positive person. So.
And I am a negative person, so it kind of works out.
We all balance out.
That is really funny.
When you
have
a negative blood type, they have to give you extra shots when you're pregnant.
Oh no. Your butt. See, that would make you even more of a negative person, I feel,
I know, right?
To get more shots.
Okay, so they take her to the ER, and then the OR, rather. And then
Do you want to know about Chasing Cars?
No. Yes. Oh. Please tell me.
Okay, Chasing Cars. Song by the Scottish band Snow Patrol. Did not know they were Scottish. Actually, it's Northern Irish / Scottish. And this was released June 6, 2006 in the United States and July 24, 2006 in the UK. And just real quick chart position, it did reach number one in the following countries: Australia, Canada, and the US. Although
Surely US.
Yeah, but it didn't get in the Billboard Hot 100 at number one. It got number 5. In the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It made it into top 10 in a number of other countries, but that's all the time we have today for this song.
Okay, great. And so then it ends like with Arizona repeating, "I asked her to marry me and a truck came out of nowhere," which she has said like three times at this point, I think. So then we go to the OR again, just chaos everywhere. Too many people. Everyone's trying to help. No one's doing anything wrong. It's just too many people. Everyone's trying to help and everyone's anxious. And this I will say, rare, few and far between, good Owen moment, because he's not singing. And he's like, "Hey, everyone, we don't have room for mistakes. We don't have room for extra people. We all need to focus because what we are about to do matters more than anything ever in the world. And like, get your heads out of your asses because we got to save her life." And I don't mind that moment. I thought it was a good leadership moment and correct.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is also on the heels of the split scene right before that, where the anesthesiologist doesn't give enough anesthesia for the billionth time on this show.
I do wonder if that has to do with like pregnancy and then how much, because they've said it before, when you're pumping someone with like all the epis and like their body is like in shock and so they're pumping adrenaline, then I do think they've mentioned before that it will kind of burn through the anesthesia differently than if you're just going based on their weight. But I could be wrong on that, but I do feel like I've heard that before on this show.
It felt like a meta level joke because Alexi's like, "Oh, the anesthesia's like, we need more." And then he's like, "I got it. I'm on it." And they're like, "Damn it, Knox.
Also, suck. I wonder too, like, I really do. I'm sure there has to be something with like the pregnancy and like taking probably that into consideration. And like, you want to go lighter rather than too heavy with that. But I don't know how that works. I'm not a doctor.
For legal reasons, we must say we're not doctors.
And because it's the truth.
Depending
on the truth. Okay, so then Lexi starts to sing Breathe. Great voice. Again, she was like unaware she had this ability until they made her film this episode. She was not into it. And then she said she just decided that she was going to do whatever they asked and just have a good attitude about it. And then she said she ended up having a great experience with it. So this song, I remember talking about this song when we did this episode, because this was like very reminiscent of like the high school soundtracks I was listening to. And I don't know if this one was on the radio, but I thought it was. This was in, let me find it. This was in As We Know It, which is the back half of the bomb episode. So again, big moments happening during this. This is when it's time for Meredith to pull the bomb out. Okay.
This song is it's interrupted by Dylan dying.
It is, yes. It ends with Dylan exploding.
Yes.
Cut to commercial.
It actually gets interrupted when Carmen went, "Whoa!"
Yes. Carmen did ruin it for everybody.
My bad, everyone. Dylan could have been a main character on the show. He could have ended up with Meredith maybe after that.
So Meredith's panicking because they're like, it's going to be time to pull this out. And she's like freaking out. Derek, Tucker is coding, because if you recall, Tucker was dying while Bailey was giving birth. This show is so insane. Meredith's panicking. Derek's trying to get Tucker back. Bailey is finally pushing. George is helping. Tucker's coding. Dylan is talking Meredith down. She pulls out the shell. Tucker's still coding. Bailey keeps pushing. Derek tries one last time to save Tucker. He comes back. Meredith hands over the shell and Burke starts operating. Meredith follows Dylan out and he explodes. And that's when the song ends and cuts to commercial. So that was the first time that Breathe was on an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
And Breathe also is the debut single of Anna Nalick?
I think it's Nalick. It's Nalick. One of those
two. It was actually first released in 2004. And then she re-released it in 2005, and it charted at number 45 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. So it peaked at number 37. I think the highest it ended up getting in the charts was... Oh, no. It reached number 2 in the AC Top 30 in Canada. Again, number 45 in the Billboard Hot 100 for the United States. And then number 37 in New Zealand. So, that's what we got for that song. Did I say when it was released? Mm-hmm. No, it was released November 1st, 2004, originally. So there you go.
So she starts singing that in the OR. Then Richard tells, someone says, like, who has eyes on Mark? And Richard's like, Lexi, go find him and sit with him. And she doesn't argue at all, which I feel like tracks, because she knows, like, there's a lot going on. Like, this isn't like, oh, a cool case. Like, it's like, you go where you're needed. And so she leaves. Derek is Jackson's working on Callie's brain bleed. Callie is also bleeding internally and starts to have contractions. Just so many things going on. Two people in the OR. Alex asks Lucy if he needs to stay because he notices Arizona in the gallery. She's like, no, you can go. So he goes and sits with her, which is, I think, a really great choice. Lexi is looking for Mark. One moment I felt went to melodrama is when she's standing on like that logo and she's like looking up and spinning. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
I just felt it was just a leaning a little too much into the melodrama. But other than that, I really like this song.
Can I talk about how that spinning would be accomplished while filming?
Yes, please.
So she is on a turntable where the camera is also locked down on that table with her, and they are spinning together, so she stays consistent with it.
That's incredible. So is that camera on like a crane, or is it just a different type of mount?
Because
no one would be holding that, right? It would be like mounted onto something.
Right, it would be mounted onto the turntable fan with her. Yeah.
I see.
So I have another question about some of these shots here, because one of the things I noticed is Callie gets, how did you refer to it, Kelsey? This is out of body Callie?
Outside Callie. Coma outside Callie, Callie. And then yeah. Callie.
Yeah. So outside Callie is singing, and she just barely is off eye contact the whole time. When they have these kind of scenes going on, do they give them like a focal point of this is exactly where I want you to look? And it's like next to the camera. It's like, here's the lens right here, but I want you to stare right here. And then as the camera moves around, like that's where her eye contact is. Cause they have a lot of those moving scenes where I imagine they're on some sort of flotation device.
Yeah. So also I'm realizing I just described the wrong shot with are you talking about the shot where Lexi, where the camera's looking down on her from like straight above?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. Sorry. That one actually would be a camera on a crane mounted directly above her. I was thinking of a different Callie shot later. That's my bad. But Carmen, to answer your question, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they would specifically tell Sarah, this is your exact focal point, or if the director may just be like, I'd like you to look just to side of camera, and then Sarah's a professional and knows how to do that. But yeah, it's so close to breaking the fourth wall, and it's so just close. Like you're saying, it's just barely off. Mm-hmm.
It was like someone who's trying to make eye contact with you, but also they don't want you to know that they care about you. You know, it was almost off-putting at some points because I was like, just look at me, Callie. You sing to me. Sing to my soul specifically
sing
right now.
Sing to me.
For
sing
me.
There it is. There it is. We're on the same page. We're on the same page.
Did you guys hear that Kenny Ortega is making a YA adaptation of Phantom of the Opera for Disney?
Incredible. That man can crank out so many things. It's truly incredible. What a time to be alive. Owen says, oh, they're going back and forth in the OR about what to do. And Owen says they're going to just pack her and basically leave her open and give her body time to kind of come out of the shock of it. And then when things have cooled down, then kind of be able to go in with a better plan because there's just so much going on. Richard's like, yo, Lucy, what's your plan? And she's like, I don't have one of those.
Which I want you to know that exactly at that moment when she said, I'm out of my depth here, I'm like...
She has a concept. She does not even have a concept. She's not even trying to have concepts of plans for you to hear about in the coming days.
Yeah, that is so. That's my new favorite line. I think of the week for sure. At that moment, I was like, "Oh, we're getting Addison.
Yeah,
we're getting Addison, Adrian, Forbes, Montgomery.
Okay. Yeah." So Lexi finds Mark in a stairwell crying. Oh, my God, this moment. Just love it so much. And I feel like they did a good job kind of balancing the volume of the music and the volume of the spoken conversations that were happening at the same time. And I thought they managed that well in this particular moment, since Lexi is the one singing, but she's also kind of like talking to Mark as well. And yes.
filmmaking moment, the singing was all pre-recorded in a studio before they shot the actual show. So the actors all have earpieces and they'll be singing along to their pre-recorded track. So like props to Shyler, who had to lip sync with what she'd previously done, but record her spoken words on the actual day. Which can be really hard to do. And you're right, Kelsey, mix it together with great balance.
It's not choreo in the fact of dancing, but it's like blocking choreo because it was still like a little more specific than just like, oh, walk over here. So I think they really gave her a lot in this one. And then I would say Running on Sunshine are the ones with like the most notable blocking choices, good or bad. And so this, I liked this moment a lot. I like the moment they have together where she's like, he says, you don't have to do this. I know you hate me. And she's like, I don't hate you. And they just sit together and he's obviously having the worst day of his life. And she's just sitting with him. And Alex goes and sits with Arizona and asks what she needs. And she's like, I'm fine. And she starts crying. Lexi's sitting with Mark. And that's the end of that song.
So a couple of thoughts. Number one is we get a return of good guy Alex. Love it. Yeah. We've had a little bit of a hot streak with good guy Alex recently. Now that they, Lucy has finally let her guard down and stopped being an a-hole to him. Also, that scene, so I had with Mark, I had a couple of thoughts right off the bat on it when he was like, she's my best friend. I was like, what about Derek? And then I was like, well, you know what? What about me and Kelsey? Like, you know, and I think that that's like a cool moment where, I think Shonda plants a flag and says, you can have more than one best friend, Earth.
It's true.
That's okay.
You can. And you can have different types of best friend relationships as well.
It's true. Love. What's Mark's real life human name?
Dane.
Eric Dane. That's right. He goes through so many emotions in this episode. I think that it really does showcase for all of these actors, there's a wide breadth of their acting skills. And that hallway scene, I think, was really, really great for Eric Dane. Just nailed it. And there was not much dialogue. It was just the emotion that you put into that space. It was really cool.
Yeah. And you can feel his, because he's obviously sad, but he's also like stressed, worried, panicked, like I'm sure going through every possible scenario in his head. And you really feel that. So anything else on Breathe before we move on?
I don't think so. Anything from you, Meg?
No.
Okay. So then Alex and Lucy are on the roof. The helicopter's coming and Lucy's like, this is so embarrassing. I'm getting benched. And Alex is like, respectfully, like, this is simply not about your feelings. Callie's about to die. They have to bring in the best person. And that's obviously Addison. So like, truly fuck off.
Yeah.
But like, he's not saying it with malicious intent. He's truly just saying like, just to like ground you, you don't matter at all right now.
He actually has two of those scenes where Alex is saying something so, so true that you almost want to be pissed off. Like, dude, what the fuck are you saying? And then you're like, actually, no, it's just, it's not malicious. The other scene is the godparent scene. And I'm like, we'll get to that. Yeah. But this scene, yeah, he's really not being a dick. He's just being honest. He's like, Lucy, like, you and I, we kissed. Calm down. Like, this is not about you. You're good. And he knows Addison very well.
Biblically.
See, I always forget that. I forget that Alex and Addison had a thing.
No, I don't forget that.
Treasured core memory for Carmen over here.
Yes. So
the glowing orb.
Addison gets off in all her glory, all her redheaded queendom. Steps off the helicopter, goes to check on Callie. Lucy's like, hey, what about this? And Addison's like, hey, so you actually are dumb and should leave. Allegedly, there was a deleted scene that kind of went more in of like just there's this scene, but longer, where Lucy just says, like, I have so much respect for you. Your career is incredible. You're such an inspiration. I know you're the best of the best. And I hope to be like you one day. And I don't have that experience. And Addison's like, well, go get some experience. And then is like, you can go.
Damn.
So they kind of just trimmed that scene down because Addison is mad that she hasn't given the baby steroids to kind of like speed up the lung development, because the assumption would be that this baby will have to come out before she's full term. Like it, there would be a very small chance that she would be able to stay in until 40 weeks. And so she's like, why have you done literally nothing? Go away from me. You're a problem. Which is fine. Again, because Addison and Callie, established friendships. So again, like emotions are heightened. People are tense. People are upset. And that's fair.
I have a question. Is private practice concurrent with this season of Grey's?
Yeah, this was happening in season 4, I believe. Okay. Four or five.
And I'm not there. I'm not there.
Me neither. Even a little bit.
Not even, yeah.
Every time I try to watch Private Practice, I get so annoyed by how immature these grown adults are acting. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. It has some problems, but I do love it.
I just can't binge watch that show. And I, you know what, though? Here's the thing. I may have some more time on my hands coming up now. So I may have some time to sit on a train and just watch Private Practice. And
the people want it.
Poor, I will if you
poor
will,
Brianna.
We'll do it together.
Let's listen. We can keep each other accountability buddies on this. But yeah, poor Brianna is like, I'm just waiting for the Private Practice content. And we're like, we are shitheads. So,
well, I've seen it all. So okay. I'm ready to go.
That's Kelsey's way of saying Carmen, you suck.
I normally just say that.
That's fair.
I don't need a code for it.
I know we're about to get into kind of like a lot of things happening all at once. So should we just take a quick, like, let's get the next episode out and rolling and we'll jump right into part two.
I was thinking this, let's just do this one long. Cause I don't think there's any way we can do all of this in just 2 hours. So I think this one of them will be longer and one of them will be normal.
The true musical event of Grey's Academy, the podcast.
So true.
So you want to just do this as a long thing?
Do this one until like 1:15 or 1:30 and then do the next one.
Okay.
Just because we're only like two songs in. There's so much more.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So then Addison gets off the helicopter. Addison's with Callie. Addison's like, it's going to be okay. We're going to figure this out. Like, no worries. Then the terrible things happen. The attendings are all arguing about the best plan of action. They're all yelling at each other. And Owen sings. To me, this is the beginning of this not working, because this is not anywhere Callie is. Callie would not be hallucinating this. In my opinion, that is one of the flaws of this part. The other part is I don't like the song choice and I don't like the singer choice.
Where I need to know where this song was played, because I feel like I'm hearing this song for the first time in my life.
This one is Deterioration of the Fight or Flight Response, which is season 2, episode 26. So the one right before Denny dies. So like where Burke has been shot and they have to go in for the surgery. So this happens. When they call Christina in and they're like, we're going to wake him up. You got to keep him calm. And she's like, cool. And then she absolutely freezes and does nothing. Erica is finishing replacing Denny's heart with the new heart and taking him off of bypass. Derek comes in and is able to talk Burke down and get him to move his hand. And then Erica starts getting Denny's new heart to beat.
So. Not for long.
And this is... this is how we operate, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how we operate is actually the title song from the album How We Operate, released by Gomez in May 2006. And there is not a ton of charting information here. I'm led to believe that it did not have anything. Sorry, May 2nd, 2006 specifically is the day. But it did receive an A- from the review score of Stylus. So I think that's something worth, and a B+ from Entertainment Weekly. So there we go. Great job, How We Operate.
Great job, Gomez. Adams. Okay, so yeah, this one, I just like, why is he yelling? I don't like it. I don't understand it. I don't need it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I also... Get straight.
I shan't. Get straight, homophobic. Like, come on, guys. What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. We thought you were an ally, Shonda. Get this anti-LGBTQ wokeness out of here. The anti-woke, I should say. That was another jarring one for me. And I feel like this song makes me believe the story of him being a singer less because it wasn't good.
Yes. And I think, again, it has a lot to do with the song choice. And like the scoring underneath it is like minimal. And I don't know. I didn't go listen to this song. So I don't really know like how it normally is, but I don't like it because of this. So that's all I have to say. It's not great. I don't care for it. I also feel like they knew it wasn't great because for most of this, they're like on another scene. They're on Alex, Christina, and Meredith talking, and the attendings are still yelling in the other room. Again, the number one reason for me that this doesn't work is because it doesn't track. Why would Callie be hallucinating this? She's not there. I feel like the only ones that work are the ones where it's like, obviously Callie would be hallucinating this. It makes sense.
Yeah.
This one doesn't.
I can track with that.
There's no reason.
I agree. So when you're writing a musical and you're trying to decide when songs go into scenes, there's this great quote by Howard Ashman, who was, of course, the lyricist for Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, like the most golden of the Disney golden Renaissance era. And he talks about how when a character is feeling too much emotion to just speak about it, that's when they burst into song. And when they're feeling too much emotion to even sing about it, they start to dance. And I feel this storyline kind of suffers from, we just have to keep putting songs in here. And they're not actually tracking like the necessary emotional highs and lows. Now, the moments where there are emotional highs and lows in this episode with the, you know, getting Callie's heart to start, like, where's the fetal heartbeat? And then, like, how to save a life at the end. Those are the most successful moments. But there's a couple songs like this one where it's like, okay, so we're just singing to sing because this is a musical experience that aren't as successful.
Yeah. And I also feel like, I don't know the choice to, like, obviously they have this powerhouse in Sierra Ramirez. And I don't know, you know, Shonda sees that there are other talented people in the cast, but would it have been more successful if she had just been like, it's fine if only Callie sings in this episode?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But I don't know if she like would have considered it to be like a musical episode if only one person was singing. I don't know if that was the thought process. That was just for me, like, my question is, I'm like, this person is so undeniably talented, like, obviously has a Tony Award for crying out loud, like, you know, you have this talent. And yes, there are other people in this cast who can sing very well. Do we need to pull in everybody? I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we just maybe like limit it a little bit more? I don't know.
I know Owen's in charge of her case, but Owen is not emotionally connected to Callie the way a lot of the other characters are. I wish Eric Dane sang more in this episode, actually.
I agree.
I think he was one of the actors who's like, absolutely not. I do not want to even a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because I think a duet between Mark and Arizona would not have gone amiss.
Would have crushed.
Yeah.
When they're screaming at each other, would have been amazing.
Mm, yeah.
Or their reconciliation at the end. Either one would have been a perfect choice.
Or if they cut in and when Arizona's hand is on the wall, maybe they sing together for that moment. That would have been cool. Or on the glass, I mean. I think, Kelsey, I feel like I agree with you, and I wouldn't have gotten to that, like, kind of, because there's nothing that I thought was wrong, but it's like a glass shattering moment, right? Where, like, when you say that, it makes more sense. I was just annoyed because I didn't think he was singing well, personally.
And I do wonder if part of it is, you know, like, he has a different accent. What type of music was he traditionally doing before this? I don't know the details.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, I can't say specifically.
There's one line where Kevin sounds so Scottish. I can't remember what it is. It's in this song, but he hits one of his R's just in a way at the end of one of his phrases. And I'm like, there it is. It's very hard to, like, sing in an accent outside your own because of how vowels are formed and things. So
it's a weird song choice because it feels not super sung. It's almost like that talk singing situation
a little bit. Yeah.
And or like yell singing.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like skrelting or anything, but it's not great.
The scene the scene around that is the other Alex scene I was talking
about. Yes, that's what I'm about to get to. So the whilst this is occurring, they cut to the Meredith, Christina, and Alex outside of the room watching them argue, and Meredith's like, it's okay if you're the baby's godmother, which I hate because the motivation is so skewed. Like, I like the scene later, and we'll talk about it, with her and Derek in the elevator. That, to me, tracks perfectly. This one is like a weird moment out of guilt, and I'm like, you already did the thing. Like, don't, I don't know. It's just a weird thing for me. And then Alex is like, if the baby lives.
Yeah.
Which, again, you're like, well, that's a shitty thing to say, but also, like, he's not wrong. Clearly, the chances are bad.
I like think
the attendings are all screaming at each other. They can't even decide what to do.
Yeah. He's sitting there and he's eating chips, which is just funny.
Very Alex,
objectively.
Very
yeah.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there. But the way he says it, he's like, yeah, I mean, if there's even a baby to godmother. But like, let's be honest, like anything that saves the baby could kill Callie. Mm-hmm. And the only way to save baby the Callie could be by, you know, sacrificing the baby. So it's you're in a catch 22. Yeah. So I don't think he's not saying it to be an asshole. He's not being a jerk. He just suffers from a bit of over-realistic tendencies, and that's fine because he was being honest. But the scene after that, really cute between Christina and Alex, and I really like that. Samantha's
is that a hickey on your neck?
You love her? You love her? And he's like, no, she's going to blow up in a bomb at some point or something.
Seattle
yes,
Grace
is the birth
Mercy
of
Death.
Seattle Grace Mercy Death, which we will hear again.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good.
It's a meta joke because they're like what is wrong in this hospital? like for people who watch the show, you're like, if you don't watch the show and you listen to other people and you're like, oh yeah, they killed this guy. Oh yeah, and then she drowned. Oh yeah, and then there was this shooter. Oh yeah, and then like, you know, this girl, like this other doctor got hit by a bus. Oh yeah, this other doctor got thrown out of her car in the witch. Like,
oh
it's
yeah,
just
and
one
then
of
there was a
things.
Musical
like, oh,
episode.
Oh dear God. And then they were all singing.
It'd been great if they brought George back just for this episode. They were married after all.
It's so true.
Yeah, but the end part of that scene is where, yeah, it's like, listen, this girl works here, so something's going to go wrong, and Karev is not going to get his happily ever after, so everyone just shut up, which leads me to believe that he will get a happily ever after, and I'm going to make an official prediction. Alex and Lucy get married and have a baby, and their first son will be named George Albus Severus Potter Karev. Yeah.
Incredible.
Named after four of the most fictional men I ever knew.
Sometimes you just gotta be like, it doesn't matter if you're shit. You died, so I'll name somebody after you.
I have so many things I want to add on to that, but I'm not going to.
So I will say they don't use the full like length of this song. Also, what I noticed in this episode was I was like, wow, you really don't realize how long a song is until nothing else is happening except the song. And you're like, is this still going? Okay. But they don't use the full How We Operate, which is fine, for the love of God. And so then we cut to Arizona and Mark just screaming at each other about saving Callie versus saving the baby. April is in Callie's room. Miranda goes in and starts, they're like repacking the wounds together, and they sing together Wait. And so Wait is originally from The First Cut Is the Deepest, which is the second episode ever of the show. And during that, where did it go? If you'll recall, and if you don't, that's fine because it's been a million years. Izzy has those two women who won't come into the hospital because they're not like on work visas. And so they like are afraid that, and they like got hurt at a factory. They don't speak a lot of English, and Izzy's like treating them outside, like behind a dumpster. I don't know if you remember this. Anyways. So during this song,
it's like raining outside.
Like,
she's
finished treating them. She's like telling them what to do. She's like, this is what you need to do. Call me if there's any issues. And she sends them on their way. Burke is like talking to Bailey, and he's like, am I too confident? And she says no. And then he's like, you can say anything you want for 30 seconds. And he's like, yeah, you suck. And then George is like, oh, all my patients died today. And Christina's like, yeah, you were running codes. Like, they're always going to die. and then they leave to go home. And then Meredith, and this is also the episode where Meredith sees the baby turn blue and like calls Birkin, even though it's not like her floor. So she's talking to the Peds intern and they're both like, isn't it terrifying being an intern? And so that's what's happening in Wait in The First Cut is the Deepest.
And Wait is a song by Get Set Go off of the album So You've Ruined Your Life, which is the debut studio album. It was released on September 30th, 2003. And it does also give a reference to Grey's Anatomy and it being on the soundtrack for Grey's, that volume there. And then I do have just a quick shout out that it was rated no rankings here, but it was rated favorable by CMJ.
Favorable.
Yep, that's it. All I got.
So yeah, this Lexi is washing her face. Jackson comes in and he's like, this is the plan that they've come up with. And he's like walking a fine line of understanding the spot Lexi's in, but also like he is a little upset, but he doesn't like feel right to give a lot of pushback, which is understandable. And he's like, I understand it. It's Mark's kid. Like there's a lot going on here. Yes, Carmen.
I want to back up for a minute because there was a couple of points I wanted to make for that scene with Bailey singing. Leading up to it, the argument that Arizona and Mark had. I want to talk about that for a second because we get a moment where they're talking about how like trying to save the baby.
Yeah.
And Mark is like, why are we even having this conversation? Like, why are we trying to save the baby? Save Callie. And I want to highlight that the scene where Callie tells Arizona that this, other than being a orthopedic surgeon, this is my dream. Having a baby, mm-hmm. this is my dream. And I think it's really important that we, up to this point, have seen, in my opinion, Mark know Callie better. Mm-hmm. And in this scene, it has a transfer of knowledge of the situation and insight to what Callie actually really would want. And Arizona is really fighting to save the baby, too. And I think that's a really important call out because that's the predecessor to Mark saying, it's my child. We'll just screw again because that's apparently the only option is you have to have sex to make another baby. We understand how turkey basters work, guys. But when he says that she's nothing, that one really that stuck with me for a long time in this episode. And I know they call it back, but that was like the beginning of this argument that I wanted to call out because in this moment, again, I think it's really important to highlight Arizona knows what Callie wants more in this moment. And I see this as a transition point for not their relationship dynamic, but I think Arizona understands the insight of Callie more moving forward than Mark does, if that makes sense.
Well, I feel like there's multiple things at play in that argument. First off, that comes a little later because that comes after.
Oh, does it?
Derek
when he says she's nothing?
Yeah. I mean, it's the end of the song. But Derek, before that, Derek's super worried about Callie not recovering at all. And they're just like, you need to tell Mark. And he's like, I cannot do that. Because he's like, I don't know. She might not wake up at all. And Meredith says, you need to tell Mark. And he's like, no, I won't. And then it cuts back. And they've just been screaming for the entire song. And that, first of all, she also says hurtful things. She's like, this is me and Callie. You're just a sperm donor.
Right, that's right.
So not to say that Mark just walked up to her and was like, you're nothing. they're both saying the most hurtful things they can say to the other person.
Yeah, they're both lashing out.
Because they're angry. Yeah, they're obviously angry, stressed, like insane situation to be in. And then Mark's like, you don't even want this baby. I don't understand like what the fuck is going on. That part I do understand like why he would all of a sudden be like, why are you pivoting? Like, this doesn't make any sense. You don't even want this. Like, you're mad this is happening. You hate me. You hate this baby, blah, 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 whatever. And I absolutely don't think he would have said this is nothing if she hadn't been like, well, you're not even a part of this. You're just a sperm donor. So then he's like, bitch, I like am this baby's kid. You're nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Again,
that's,
both terrible things to say, yeah. But I do think that they get each other to those points. And I feel like a lot of it is this competition of like which one of us is better at our relationship with Callie, which I feel is unfair because I don't think it's fair. Like they're not both in a relationship with Callie. They both have relationships with Callie and they're very, very different. And I think the constant like pitting them against each other and like keeping score and like, I know her better. No, I know her better. No, I'm a better partner. No, I'm a better partner. Like that is part of the issue and like how they get to this point. But yeah, they're both doing a bad job. Nothing that they're saying to each other is helpful.
Or nice. Or kind. Yeah.
We need so true.
What do we teach our kids? Words are not daggers. Words are kind. We build
is it,
people
it's
up.
Think. It's is it true? Is it helpful? Is it I always forget what the
intelligent?
Intelligent. Is it nice? No, it's not nice. I don't know
it
what the
be
N
nice
is, but then
and
is it kind?
Necessary. No. Is it necessary? And is it
yes.
kind?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's none
so
of those. That checks no boxes.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Well, have you ever been in a kindergarten classroom? Because they're on like every elementary school wall.
I haven't yet. No, I don't think I've ever been in a kindergarten. Well, I guess that's a lie. I've been in a kindergartner.
They sent home a book for Scarlett that was like, these are the things your kid has to have to like be ready for kindergarten next year. And I was like, this is offensive. I don't like this. This is not real. Anyways, okay, so then the song ends and it like cuts to Christina having this like epiphany of what they should do for Callie's for the heart part, because obviously there's all these other injuries. There's a brain bleed, there's other internal injuries, there's the baby, but Christina obviously is focusing on the cardio aspect. She's been looking at the scans and she like has this epiphany essentially, and then it cuts away.
I think and this is where we should pause just for size of the fine. Episode so that I can edit it and make it look nice. Okay. Look nice. Sound nice.
A little bit of both. So we'll pause here and then we'll start the next episode with everyone's favorite segment, followed by this song.